God's grace and his mercy, his peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our King. Amen. Well, this is the season, of course, of Advent and Christmas, and usually at this time we look at the things that happened right before Christ was born and came and preached. And I'd like to look with you today at John the Baptist, and a word that Jesus spoke about him. And let's just go straight to it. It's Matthew 11, verse 11, and see what Jesus says there of John. He says, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." No one greater than John the Baptist from everybody who's ever lived for all of the history of the world to that very day. And the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater. Are you greater than John himself, John the Baptist? Well, let's take a look and see what we'd learn about that today for our encouragement of the faith as we look at God's holy scriptures. First of all, Jesus says here, John was great. And if you think about the history of the world, all the way from Adam to Abraham to Moses to Elijah to Jeremiah, Jesus says, John, there's no one greater than he. He's at least equal to, if not better and greater than all the others who ever came before him. That's absolutely amazing. You think about that especially being amazing, considering the terrible predicament John was in when Jesus said these words about him. He was actually beginning to wobble and shake a bit in his faith about Christ, because remember, when he was born, he grew up in the wilderness. We read, the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Can you just smell the fresh air on this man? Fresh. It is fresh, though. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He has had a marvelous ministry to this very point. And he has confessed of the Christ. He says, "There he is, behold, the Lamb of God, he who takes away the sins of the world." And yet here, John has gotten into a really dark place in more ways than one, because he's in prison. He is on a scant ration of food. I'm sure probably beaten, as often happened in those days. And he's headed very shortly towards death. They're going to kill him. Herod is going to kill him. And so he's at a very low place in his life. And he actually says here, just a few verses before what Jesus says about him, we read in Matthew chapter 11, verse 2, Matthew 11:2, it says, "Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent by word by his disciples and said to him, 'Are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another?'" What became of John's super confidence? This is the Christ. Follow him. And then now he's like, "Are you he who is to come, or is there somebody else we should be waiting for?" So he was at a dark place. And why was he so in that place? Because he didn't understand the timing of things. He knew Jesus' winnowing fork was in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. The coming judgment of God he expected to fall from Christ immediately. And that coming judgment is a true preaching, but he didn't know the timing of things. He thought, as did the disciples and most people at that time, that the Christ would come, kick out the Romans, reestablish the supremacy of Israel and the throne of David, and forthwith immediately. But why the delay? What's going on? Why have I not seen these things? So he was in a very dark place, literally, and you could say in a spiritual way too. He was beginning to wonder. And Jesus went and sent word back in confirmation of who he was, that he was healing the blind and lifting up those who are in prison and darkness, and etc. And John was confirmed in his faith. But notice, even in this very, very dark place, Jesus speaks so highly of the man. He says to the crowds, "What did you go out into the wilderness to behold? A reed shaken by the wind? No. Did you go out to behold a man clothed in soft raiment? No, those are in kings' houses. What did you go out to behold? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet is he. For this is the one of whom Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 40, he who goes before me to prepare my way, a voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the paths of the Lord." And so Jesus gives him a super high praise here. And I think that's a really encouraging word for us too. That even if we get into dark places in our spiritual walk at times, the one who serves the Lord, Jesus honors with the greatest and highest of accolades. And here in this case, none has ever risen greater than John. That's amazing. Do you think he's really greater than everybody else? I believe it because Jesus said so. That's a good reason. Also, if you think about Moses, he was great in power. I mean, the man made the Nile and the blood, and he split the Red Sea with his staff. Was he greater than Samson, who could take up the jawbone of an ass and strike down 1,000 of the army of the Philistines with a blow? Is he greater than Elijah, who in the prophets of Baal gathered a mass on Mount Carmel, and he had a great contest? He was able to mock them and call down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice and dispatch those evil servants of wickedness. Is he greater than all these people? Yes, he is better and greater than all these, at least equal to, if not superior. Jesus says it. He had an unflappable courage in what he was preaching. If you think about it, Moses, as great as he was, he didn't want to go to Pharaoh. And when he got there, he wanted Aaron to do the talking for a while. Send somebody else, Lord. I don't want to go. If you think about Samson, well, you know Delilah. What happened there? He gave his secret of all his strength to a woman who seduced him. Elijah called down fire from heaven, and yet just the next chapter or so, he's seen running for his life from the wrath of Queen Jezebel. He gets to Mount Sinai, and he calls up to God, "Oh God, take my life, for I am done. Kaput, I'm finished." But John's boldness and courage was of the greatest sort. For when he saw those Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he stared them down and said, "You brood of pit vipers, you poisonous snakes, you serpents, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit that befits repentance, and don't go presuming upon your ancestry, calling Abraham your father, for I tell you, God is able, even from these very stones, to raise up children to Abraham." Can you beat this guy? He's number one in courage and boldness. He's also greater in the preaching of the law than all the others. If you think about it, they were great, for sure. But no one was clearer, sharper, and more direct than John. Speaking of the coming and judgment, he said, "Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, therefore, is cut down and thrown into the fire." That's a pretty clear word. You hear clear words in the prophets, to be sure. But who has ever spoken so clearly of the coming judgment as John? Whoever spoke greater also of grace than John, and clearer? For John the Baptizer came in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And from there went out to him all the country of Judea and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. So you have the previous prophets. They were great in their preaching of grace at times. You see it. But here you see baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. Clear, sharper than ever before. Clear as day, the preaching of grace. How about also this one, humility? Was he more humble than all the others? Humbler? Well, you read of Moses in Numbers 12. "Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all the other men that were on the face of the earth." But you see, of John, he says, I baptize you with water of repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, the thong of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. So I can't pit these two against each other. They're great servants and both super the best humble. But he, John, says, Jesus must increase, I must decrease. He was super in humility. He is also greater in the preaching of Jesus Christ than anybody else who had ever come before him. For all the others, the prophets, spoke only in shadows and in elusive language. But John, clear as day. He said, we read, Paul says, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who is to come after him, that is Jesus. And it says in the Bible, he saw him walking one day, Jesus, and he pointed to him and said, behold, this is the Lamb of God. You ever going to get clearer than that? Sharper and better than anybody who has ever come before him. In all the Bible, for sure. And no one had a higher position than John. If you think of Moses, he was a servant. If you think of Elijah, he was a prophet. If you think of John, he was the, quote, best man at the wedding. We read that he rejoiced in Jesus even in his mom's womb before he was born. When Mary comes and probably has Jesus already in her womb, the babe in Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy. It's Jesus even before he's born. None is greater than John. And he bore witness. He said, I'm not the Christ. I've been sent before him. But the one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, that's the best man, that's John, who stands and hears and rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now full, says he. So John has a better position than anybody has ever had before him. He is the best man at Christ's wedding. Isn't that fabulous? I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there's never arisen one greater than John. But then we hear this marvelous and mysterious word. The one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Wow. Raise your hand if you're in the kingdom of heaven. Have you believed in Christ in the new gospel? You are then, according to Jesus, greater than John. How could this possibly be that you're greater than the guy I just described to you? Well, let's consider this one. Are you greater than John in your holiness of living? Now, John, as we said, was in the wilderness. He was in constant weeping and prayer and fasting. He taught his disciples to fast. He was super zealous. He was a preacher of the word. He ate locusts and wild honey. Is anybody, can you compare to him in holiness of living? Well, I don't see anybody wearing camel's hair. Anybody wearing camel's hair? Anybody had locust this morning? I had a little honey on my breakfast bread, but I ain't had locust yet. We can't compare with him and dare not compare ourselves with him in holiness of living, although we could aspire to be like him. How about number two, boldness, his unflappable courage? Well, he said to those enemies of Christ, you brood of vipers, you pit vipers, you venomous snakes. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? When was the last time you spoke to anybody like this? I mean, may we all aspire to be so. Stronger in our preaching of the law. I mean, we are a little bit wimpy on that, I think. Let's get up and take some courage points from John. But we can't compare ourselves to him in that. How about in humility? You know, John said, he must increase, I must decrease, I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. We agree with him on that about Jesus. But as soon as you say, I am greater than John in humility, guess what? You're proud, which then makes you disqualified. You lose. You've lost in that one too. How then are you greater than John, you who are in the kingdom of heaven? Well, let's consider. Number one, you are greater in your proximity and position with Jesus Christ. Now, in a wedding, if you go to a wedding, if you went to my wedding years ago, 23 years ago, who gets the greater glory? I had my best man. His name was Ben from England. You all know Ben. Or if you haven't, he might be coming again this spring, actually. That'd be amazing. Hopefully he does. He has this awesome, charming accent. I tell you, when he came to our church, many of you ladies fell in love with him. Same too at the wedding. Charming, good-looking, amazing, dashing guy. He was the best man, the best friend of the groom at the wedding, and he was the star until arrived Beth. And there, in a white dress, coming down the crimson carpet, overflowing with grace, bathed in the colors of the sunlight pouring over her through the stained glass windows, the Holy Spirit picture pouring down on her, came the bride. And at her appearance and radiance, everybody forgot about Ben, the best man, for the one walking down the aisle. You are greater than John, you who are in the kingdom, for this. He was the best man at the wedding. You are the bride. Jesus says that you're the bride. John says you're the bride. He says, he who has the bride is the bridegroom, the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears and rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now full. He must increase, but I must decrease. But Jesus came, the husband, to spend time with his bride. And that's the glory of the wedding. You are the bride. You're greater than John in proximity and position. Secondly, you're greater than John in baptism. For he said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose worthy sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire? Amen. Repent and be baptized, said Peter at Pentecost. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we have a greater baptism than John ever knew. If you think about it, if you want to liken it this way, John's baptism was like the engagement ring. Ours, like the wedding ring. An engagement ring brings a certain intimacy. You now become betrothed. You're promised to one another. But the wedding ring brings and makes husband and wife. It's greater. It's a greater baptism. And that's kind of a funny thing, too, because when I first got engaged to Beth years ago, I went out. I went in Philadelphia off the ship, and I didn't know anything about jewelry, and I eventually found this great wedding, an engagement ring, and I spent all these thousands of dollars. I thought it was done. I didn't know there was such a thing as a wedding ring. Clueless. Really not very smart. Later years, I mean, not years, but a few months later, Beth's like, we need to get the wedding ring. I'm like, wedding ring? What are you talking about? You got your wedding ring. No, that's the engagement ring. Oh, I got to spend more money. Okay. No, but it was fantastic because the engagement only brought us so close, but the wedding ring unites as husband and wife. That's what we have in your baptism. You are greater than John in your position and your baptism. Thirdly, you're greater in your relationship with the Spirit of God than John. You know, he was amazing. He had the Holy Spirit on him from his mother's womb. He's there leaping for joy in his mom's belly while he's still being formed as a baby. And when he saw Jesus, he was leaping for joy. But he only had the Holy Spirit on him or with him. You have him inside of you. I will pray the Father, Jesus says, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. Remember when Jesus went to that great festival in Jerusalem, and the last day of the feast, he stands up and he says, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. For out of his heart, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit hadn't been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. You live in the days after Jesus was glorified. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. You are greater than John. Fourthly, you're greater in power even than John. He came with power. Believe me, he was powerful. He came like a P-51 Mustang out of World War II. Remember that? This is the premier fighter of World War II, the P-51 Mustang. But you have the power of an F-22 Superjet today. By comparison, it's not even comparable. The power that's inside of you compared to John. Because Paul says in Ephesians 1, this is his prayer, that the eyes of your hearts might be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and that you might know what is the, listen carefully, immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe according to the working of his great might. And what kind of power is that? The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and made him sit at God's right hand in the heavenly places, that power is at work inside of you. You might not feel it right now, but believe it. May your eyes be open to see that's what the scriptures teach us. John had the Spirit with him. You have the Spirit in you. And because of that, the power in you is resurrection power. When you die, your soul goes to heaven, your spirit, your body into the earth, and on the last day, that spirit that's been dwelling inside of you is going to raise your body up, make you glorious, like Jesus' own body. That's power. I don't want the P-51 Mustang anymore. I want the F-22 Raptor. I want to be flying in the skies. You've got greater power. You are greater than John. And also you're greater in the covenant, because he was the greatest of the old. The old covenant, no one greater than he. But the one who's living in a new covenant is by far, far better, superior. Behold, the days are coming, God promised in the Old Testament days, when I'll make a new covenant, the house of Israel and Judah. Not like the old covenant that I made with Israel and your fathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, my covenant, which they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. Put my laws within them. I'll write them on their minds. I will write it upon their hearts. I'll be their God. They shall be my people. They shall no longer teach each man his neighbor or brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. Friends, this John had not. He was the best and the brightest of the old covenant. He was the best of the moon, but you are the sun that's risen. The moon fades in glory when the sun rises in the morning. And the old covenant was good for a while, but failed because we couldn't keep it. The new one is called grace, the forgiveness of your sins. The one who is least in the kingdom of God, therefore, is greater than the best under the old covenant. And you have a greater revelation than John. That's why he got a concerned. He didn't know the timing of things. I know God's coming for judgment. His winning fork is in his hand. The axe is laid to the root of the trees. But when? He didn't understand that there was a time period called grace, that God was going to extend over the whole earth. He didn't understand that Gentiles were one day to be saved. Paul says this is a mystery which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it's now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is how the Gentiles are fellow heirs with Christ. And God has revealed to us that in all things he's united Christ. He's uniting all things in Christ. Things in heaven and things on earth. You know, if you are the greatest, John, and you have only the Old Testament, you ain't got nothing on those who know the New Testament and the revelation that is in your minds. We know the timing of things far better than he. We know grace far better than he. And we live in the days after Jesus. He lived as a co-preacher of Christ. His career was done as Christ was just getting started. Your career is after Christ's career has been accomplished, life, death, resurrection, ascension at the right hand. The apostles have laid down to first the canon of Scripture. We have all these things made clear and sharp for us. You are in a far better situation. And you're greater than John. And lastly, you're greater in the mission than John. He had a fabulous mission to tell the people to believe in the Christ who is to come after him. But you tell the people to believe in the Christ who has already come and accomplished their salvation. And we know that, yes, the judgment is quickly to fall upon the earth on a day soon to come. John preached the same thing. But we know what he didn't, that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And we've believed in Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law shall no man be justified. John could not see this. He was the best of the law. But you're, even if you're the least in the gospel, you're greater than the best of the law. For you know the forgiveness of your sins, and you know your Savior clear as day. And we know that we're saved not because of deeds done by us in righteousness, but in virtue of God's own mercy, by the washing, regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, which God poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, listen carefully, so that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life. The saying is sure. You are greater than John. So, conclusion, he was the bridegroom. He was the best friend. He was the best man of Christ. Highest honor and of accolades, but he ain't got nothing on the bride. You are in a far superior covenant with far superior powers at work within you, far greater knowledge and understanding, and you see Christ all the clearer than did he. And he will be with us there on that day, rejoicing in the Christ who we both worship. None has ever risen greater than John, but you, who are least in the kingdom of God, in heaven, greater than he. Amen.